Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wasn't sure if we were going to have some guests on the show today or if we were just going to have open phones for the full hour today, but I'll tell you what, we're going to take phone calls. Who knows, we may have a guest call in later as well. You just never know what we're going to do here on Montana Talks, but we got phone lines open for you right now, 406-294-0970, and we got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter here, sidekicking with us on the radio this morning. John, this is pretty funny. One of your buddies from Twitter, the Mighty Human Z, you guys do a podcast together on Rumble, Behind Enemy Lines. But, yeah, he apparently thinks we need to get a Montana Talks black helicopter and just start dropping turkeys all across Montana for Thanksgiving. It sounds like a good idea.
Well, yeah. I thought you had one, Aaron. I mean, that's where, you get out there like Les Nessman and do like hit your chest. I mean, reporting live from the Montana Talk Show.
Man, I tell you, I know our friends in Radioland out there across Montana know this clip. So WKRP, the TV show, was on when I was a kid. I remember watching it when I was a little kid in the 1980s, but I probably should go back and watch a bunch of these old episodes now because you and I spent a couple of minutes and we watched this classic episode, the WKRP Turkey Drop. And Les Nessman, he starts this segment where, he's reporting live from this store, and the store owner comes out and he's like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, you're blocking my store. And he's like, well, don't you know who I am? I'm Les Nessman. I won the Broadcaster Award last year. And he's like, I don't care. Get away from my store. Oh, it's hysterical. And then apparently, though, you said this is the money clip. This is the part right here when the turkeys start to drop it.
Pushing each other. Oh my goodness. Oh, the humanity. Oh, running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement.
Oh, man. Anyway, that's a classic. For those who haven't seen it, for those who weren't kids in the 80s or adults in the 80s, in addition to the Charlie Brown Christmas this Thanksgiving, there's something else you can watch with the kids and everybody.
Well, being such a fan of radio as I am, that was not only just a great, great comedy show, but the DJ on there, Dr. Johnny Fever, was the DJ that you loved. He was that cool, hip, old school rock and roll DJ that played all the songs you wanted to hear. You know, was a little bit of an outlaw. He was just everybody's favorite DJ.
That guy's down the hall from us right now. It's not this guy right here. They save talk radio for the nerds. So it's the nerdy guys like us that are here on talk radio. So, well, okay, John, I guess you're a cool guy. You got your Grindhouse mixed martial arts sweatshirt on, so... You got your Fetterman hoodie, so I guess you're cool, you know.
You know, Aaron, I like them French fried potatoes.
All right. That's his Senator Sling Blade reference, by the way. Taking your calls and more back right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, since we're talking about old TV shows, old movie references, things like that, I always got to be careful, because, we talk news and issues and public policy around here. I start throwing around, like, Hollywood references, and I'm going to get the actor wrong or the actress wrong or whatever. Like, case in point, like, My Cousin Vinny came on TV last night, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Joe Pesci. Why was I thinking that was Danny DeVito that was in My Cousin Vinny? But it was Joe Pesci. And so, anyway, great show. John, I think the last time you were with us, we threw out a My Cousin Vinny reference. I forget what we were talking about.
Yes, the disadvantaged youths.
That's right, the two youths.
The two youths. Yeah.
That's right, because we were talking about the rise in youth gang activity in the youths here in Montana. That was the My Cousin Vinny reference. You know, I don't know if you heard it, but a few days later, I was able to catch up with a sergeant with the Billings Police Department, and I asked him, because they had this big public safety meeting, I said, hey, what's your take? what do you attribute this big rise in youth gang activity to? And he basically said the same exact same thing that you've been saying, which is, well, why are they doing all this? Because they can. Because they know they're going to be right back out on the streets. And even if we go get them, even if we arrest them, they know they're not going to have that big of a punishment awaiting them, if they even end up behind bars to begin with.
Yeah, as I told you, I went to that meeting. And I go there as a law enforcement or criminal justice professional. So I'm not going there to, you know, clap and say yay for whoever, you know, public official shows up there. I'm here to listen and hear what you're going to say about how you're going to solve this problem. And I've got some bad news for y'all. Nobody got up there. What you heard from everybody was, we don't really have a plan. And any plans that we would put into effect that y'all want us to do is going to take a very, very long time and lots of money. I walked away from that just totally discouraged.
Well, that's why I was really glad to have Representative Bill Mercer on our show on Friday, at least talking about what's being done right now and this deal to ship a bunch of prison inmates down to Arizona so we can free up some capacity. Because that's what needs to happen. We need more capacity freed up in these jails and in our prison so we can put more of these bad guys behind bars. But, you know, I mentioned movie references. You know, we started the show talking about WKRP in Cincinnati. Did you ever remember the cartoon with Yogi Bear?
Oh,
remember the Yogi Bear?
Yogi?
Jellystone National Park. Well, anyway, this story caught my eye, and I thought about Yogi Bear. Hey, boo-boo. I got some fentanyl in my picnic basket. Did you see this story? Biden White House faces backlash for housing migrants on national parkland. So we're aware of the fact that illegal aliens are flooding into this country. They're destroying New York City. Even the rapper Cardi B is now rapping against Joe Biden because of how the illegal aliens are destroying New York City and leading to budget cut after budget cut. But yeah, apparently, this story's been out there for a while now. They're housing some illegal aliens, or migrants as they call them, on national parkland. And so that's where I'm like, hey, boo-boo, I got some fentanyl in my picnic basket.
Well, like I've been saying on Twitter for a while, you're seeing New York and Chicago, you know, everybody's complaining about this, you know, of the money issue, of the space issue, all that. Look, but you people are still voting for Democrats, and it's, as long as you are, Aaron, I want to see illegals hanging off of the Statue of Liberty, okay? I want them camped out in Central Park, okay? I want them with Tent City inside of Madison Square Garden until you people hit your pain threshold and tap out.
Well, apparently Cardi B is tapping out. Here was the audio, thankfully bleeped out by Laura Ingraham last night.
There's a $120 million budget cut in New York that is going to affect schools, public libraries, and the police department. And a $5 million budget cut in sanitation. We're going to be drowning in rats. Yeah, Joe Biden's talking about, like, yeah, we could fund two wars. Like, we're the greatest nation. No, we're not. We're going through some right now. We're going to be drowning in rats. Rats and squirrels and raccoons.
Rats and squirrels and raccoons. Yes.
What about wolverines? Can we throw in wolverines there too? Because there's like an $11,000 bounty for whoever killed a wolverine in Montana, apparently.
Well,
now.
See, it's a good thing you have me here this morning, Eric, because I am fluent in hood rat, and I can translate any of that right there if you need to translate.
Whenever John Jackson is with it, is always going to be the most unwoke hour of the week here with the Joker from Twitter. All right, let's go to Gary in Billings on the phone lines. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Gary, what's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, John. Eric and John. Thanks for taking my call. I watched John Tester's commercial, and I'm thinking they want to kick Ron Santos for lying and cheating. What about impeach John Tester? The Fusion campaign finds he's deceiving people like he's a true congressman for us. So what are you guys' opinion about that?
Yeah, the campaign commercials in particular. Yeah, John, you and I were talking about how the Cat Grizz game, I mean, the commercials were just flooded with John Tester campaign commercials because he's got a bunch of lobbyist cash now funding his campaign. Over $1 million from California alone funding his campaign commercials. But, okay, let's say, even if I wanted to take a step back and just analyze the ad from a nonpartisan perspective. Claims he held Biden accountable. How? Where? I mean, seriously, somebody, I mean, I'll be happy to read it on the air. Claims he held them accountable for the China spy balloon. I can play the audio where he was downplaying the China spy balloon. Who got fired? Who had their budget cut after the China spy balloon? And then he says, well, look at me. I introduced a bill to ban the Chinese ownership of land here in America. Okay, well, why hasn't the bill passed yet? Montana got the bill signed into law. Governor Greg Gianforte signed the bill into law. Why haven't you gotten the bill passed? So, again,
this is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Montana Talks. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. John, can turkeys fly? Can turkeys fly? That sounds like the start of a joke or something. Can turkeys fly? WKRP, Les Nessman, said, I thought turkeys can fly. And then they just started dropping, hitting people.
They can fly for very, very short distances if they're trying to escape an enemy, get up into a tree, something like that. But they don't have any distance.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I don't know too much about turkeys other than the turkeys we cover in Washington and in Helena, you know, from our news coverage standpoint here. But, you know, I mentioned, one of my most fun hunting trips ever. I was with my stepdad, and we were out near Big Timber, and we went turkey hunting, and it was a great time, man. But yeah, you know, he was telling me, okay, so you know, so you're out on a ranch, right, or out in public land, wherever you're at, and so you got the trees along the creek, right? You got the trees along the creek, and so at night the turkeys will go up there. So maybe you start your day down close to the water, close to the trees, because they're gonna. Limited basis, fly into the trees, yeah. Right? Okay, yeah. All right, just making sure I'm tracking here. Yeah, and then they'll come down, and then they'll, you know, do their little, you know, strut. The toms do the strut, and so, because, man, we were calling this turkey in, and we could hear it gobble back to us. You know, we'd do the call, and we'd set up in our little blind, and we'd do the call, and then we'd hear it. Yeah. But then we just kept noticing the just kept getting further and further away. Yeah. So then, so we'd move our blind. It's further away again. So I'm like, okay, the thing's gobbling back, but it keeps moving away from us. So so finally, I said, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna grab my shotgun. I'm gonna beeline it up this little Jeep trail right here, go straight up the hill, and then I'm gonna go at an angle and cut it off at the pass.
Go.
And no, luckily it worked. And so you know, I'm walking along, you know. I felt like I was back in Afghanistan or something. I'm, you know, just kind of doing the tactical movement. Get behind this, like, pine tree, and I come right around the pine tree. There it is, just strutting along, and I just, whoo, boom, dropped it. I was
nice.
Like, yes. Oh, it was
nice.
So fun. But the chase is what made it so cool. I mean, if we had set up our blind and called one in and shot it right there, that still would have been cool, but it was the chase that really made it.
Outwit it.
The hunt was what was so fun.
Actually hunt it and outwit it.
Yeah, you kind of have to do a little chase, you know. I tried a similar tactic with antelope near Broadus. Didn't work.
I watched a turkeys are tough. I actually watched with my own eyes a turkey back off a black bear. But both of them were trying to get to this feeder. You know, people put out these bird feeders that have the grain in them. Well, all kind of critters like that grain, turkeys and black bears included. Well, I saw a turkey eating on a feeder. Black bear comes up to approach, and this turkey just spreads his wings and flap, 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 right in the face of that black bear. Like, get out of here. This is mine. And you can see that the black bear gives this look at this turkey like, hey, do you realize that I'm a bear? Right, but the turkey did not care. Just did it again.
Yeah, that's like the YouTube video of the what is it? What was it? What was the animal that was taken on the cobra snake? Wasn't a weasel? What the heck was
mongoose?
The mongoose versus the cobra. Yeah, that mongoose took that thing out. Had it for dinner. Bob and Lewis. Well, let me get to Terry and Kalispell first here. Terry and Kalispell says this on our Montana Talks app. I had a turkey fly into my driver's side of my pickup, take out my mirror and my visor. At least it wasn't a moose, right? That'd take out the whole car. I had turkey guts and feathers all down the side. I'm glad the window was up. I was just south of Glacier Park. Whoever says turkeys don't fly never had one attack a pickup. Happy Thanksgiving. You guys have a great program. So that was from Terry in Kalispell. Now, Bob in Lewistown, though, says this. Bob says, to correct disinformation, I don't know if this was the Les Nessman disinformation or what, wild turkeys can fly some, but domestic turkeys can't fly. So that was from Bob in Lewistown. Speaking of Lewistown, John, I want to get your take on a story out of Lewistown here in just a second, because it deals with this homeless debate that you and I have talked about before. But now the debate is taking place right in the middle of small town Montana as well. So stand by. We'll talk about that story here in just a second. But first, Jerry in Gallatin Valley is on the phone lines. Jerry, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Hey, Aaron. Yeah, I was just listening earlier about these testicle ads on John Tester ads on the bat. Did you see the one? And I just turned it off. He's driving down the road, flapping his gums on, you know, what he's doing. But in the back of his, the back window of his pickup, there's a rifle. You know, it's just like, come on, John. You know, typical old ranch kid from Montana with his rifle in the back, you know, hunting season, might have to shoot a coyote or a turkey in your case. But I just like, oh, give me a break. I just shut it off. I don't even know what he said. But
well, it's like he's pretending it's 2006 all over again.
Oh, and, yeah. And, he's got his car heart and his rifle out, you know. And yeah, he's a good old Montana boy. So,
well, I remember in the 2012 election campaign, he had this commercial where it showed him in an orange hunting vest holding a gun.
Yep.
He had, I think it was a black lab, some sort of dog next to him, make it look like he was a big sportsman. He was a big hunter. And then the documents came out. He hadn't had a hunting license in 16 years. And look, if you don't hunt, I'm okay with that, because then you're less likely to be taking the land that the rest of us want to be hunting, because sometimes it feels a little crowded out there, right?
Yeah.
But here's my thing. If you're not a hunter, like, that's okay. There's plenty of us that like to go hunting. You don't need to pretend to be one. But my bigger problem is, don't fake it. Just be the real deal.
But the good old election year, you know, where he's a hunter, he's a farmer, he's, you know, all in touch with all of us working folk in Montana, you know. He's just one of the good old boys. Yeah, with his $1.3 million restaurant bill. He doesn't have to hunt. He's got a pretty good restaurant, obviously, that he goes to. So,
well, apparently it's the Bistro B in Washington, D.C. When the report came out that he's spent over $1.2 million on fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants, the Bistro B was one of them, apparently. By the way, the DailyCaller.com has this story. Democrat senator's campaign took cash linked to Chinese landowners despite touting opposition to China owning U.S. farmland. So some of those ads that you might be seeing on TV or hearing elsewhere, they're being paid for by the very people who are buying the land for the Chinese. And his bill never passed to block that from happening, by the way. John Jackson, all right, let's go back to Lewistown, Montana here for a second. In fact, I was thinking about it. When we were talking about WKRP Cincinnati, who was the rock DJ? Do you remember the rock DJ?
Oh, Johnny Fever.
Johnny Fever. Yeah. So when you were describing Johnny Fever as like the coolest rock DJ ever, that is KQPZ in Lewistown. So the morning show in Lewistown on KQPZ, it's a rock radio station. Those guys are cool, and they play good music, right? It's so fun listening to those guys. Well, anyway, let's go to Lewistown now. This story was on the KRTV website a few days ago. Lewistown debates creating a warming center for homeless people. So Lewistown, one of the most beautiful main streets in all of Montana, one of the most beautiful main streets in all of Montana, right in the middle of Montana, Lewistown, Montana, is the center of the state. And, yeah, apparently there's some folks who are saying, hey, we should build a warming center for homeless people here. And the local government should be paying for and operating this warming center. Now, here's my take. I'm sure there are plenty of generous people, because Lewistown is some of the nicest people you'll ever meet in the Fergus County area. I'm sure there are plenty of people and churches that will help people that are in need, especially families that are truly in need. The concern that I'm hearing from so many of our friends in the Lewistown area as well is that here's the problem when you create these warming centers. Look at what happened in Missoula. Look at what happened in Kalispell. And in fact, that was the subject of this story, is that one of the speakers in Lewistown was the mayor of Kalispell, who was saying, hey, guys, we had some problems with this warming center in Kalispell. The problem is we built it and more came
and
in.
And they came.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Build it and they will come.
It's the Field of Dreams.
What did your mama tell you when you were 6 years old, Aaron, and the stray dog followed you home? What'd she tell you? Don't feed that dog, Aaron. We'll never get rid of it. Right?
My brother hid it in the closet. For about a week, he got away with it, too.
Your mama's been telling you that. Mama's been telling kids that since the beginning of time. Build it and they will come. You feed that dog, you're never getting rid of it. That's one of the things I heard at this meeting the other night, Aaron. One of these guys is getting up and talking about all the different services we can start providing for people, this, that, and the other thing. Like, the message your community needs to have is we're not here to solve crime or homelessness or mental health or any of that. We're here to tell you, not in our town, boys. Denver is 8 hours down the road. Bye-bye.
And here's a bus pass.
Yes, get out.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's still a bus that'll take you from Billings to Denver.
If there ain't, we'll charter one.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, this is the John Jackson bus lines.
Yeah. Like the Ron DeSantis Air Force. We'll figure it out.
That's right. Colonel Jackson reporting for duty. What would it be in the bus driver? You'd be like the 88 Mike. There you go, driving the bus. But no, yeah, I'm sure there's people that are well-intentioned that are thinking, hey, let's build a warming center here to help the homeless people. It's like, well, I'm sure there's plenty of people who are willing to help, plenty of churches that are willing to help, but should taxpayers and should now a local government now be funding and then running and then building something like this? Because it's just like you and I have talked before. This is the Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. And instead of taking care of people who fall on hard times in your own community, you recruit this transient, oftentimes criminal element from other communities to come in and take advantage of you and your town. And the crime goes up and it makes a dangerous situation for other people that fall on tough times. That's what we've seen in Missoula. That's what they saw in the Flathead, which is why the Flathead County Commissioners were like, guys, we got to stop doing this. What's your take? 406-294-0970. Now is a great time to call in as we take this quick break. Oh, and I still got 10 seconds left. I'm like, wait a minute. I got 10 more seconds.
This is like our podcast here.
I can promote my Twitter page. Just give us a call.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA has mailed survey codes to a selected sample of irrigators across 50 states with an invitation to respond to the 2023 Irrigation and Water Management Survey. The survey is a special study of the 2022 Census of Agriculture and provides the only comprehensive data set of irrigation activities and water use across America's farms and ranches. Producer input will aid USDA's efforts to promote efficient irrigation practices and long-term sustainability. All responses are due by February 15th, 2024, if you received one of those surveys.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack has announced that USDA is investing more than $1.2 billion in loans and grants to spur economic development, catalyze rural prosperity, and advance equity through rural cooperatives in 36 states. In October, the department celebrated its 59th annual National Cooperative Month and the vital role cooperatives play in helping people bring bright futures in rural America. I'm Lane North.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is great. We got a number of callers on the phone lines right now, so let's jump right into the phone calls. Phone lines are open for you. Write this number down, 406-294-0970, and And we'll try to do a little bit of a lightning round with the callers on the phone lines here. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Lee in Kalispell, listening to KJJR. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I'm calling in about the warming centers. The thing that I see is we need to vent these people before letting them go in and stuff. There's people out there that are hobos, I guess you'd call them. This their choice of life. And I don't think they want to be helped. That's the way they want to live. So I don't think they deserve to be there. If they wanted to be a better life, they would get themselves a job. Here in Kalispell, for instance, there is, I can't tell you how many places are looking for people to work because they just don't have any people to work. And these guys don't even try to get that job. And so I think we should vent them. We should find out if they do have a job, how long they've been in the valley, you know, that type of thing. If it's a hard case, like something, you know, they were doing good and then all of a sudden something happened and it took them out of it, but they're still from here, that's fine. But those that have come in and they don't have a job and they're just looking for a handout, I think we should just give them a handout. I think we should give them a ticket to, like you said, Denver or a warmer place that they don't have to worry about having a warming center.
Yeah, well, and look at some of the, you know, some of the crime that's occurred within some of these facilities in Kalispell. I mean, I think there was a man who was sexually assaulted by another man in one of these facilities, and then you've seen the crime pile up. I mean, the homeless encampment in Missoula, they had stabbings taking place in broad daylight to where women didn't even feel comfortable going to the YWCA thrift store because of this, you know, because of no structure with these programs. And yeah, there's great programs out there that serve the homeless populations, but they have accountability built into these programs. And you know, addressing some of the very issues like you just talked about right there. Lee, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Jim in Shelby. Jim, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to KSEN. What's on your mind?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, well, first of all, my name is Tim, not Jim, but
oh,
that's okay.
All right, well, thanks, yeah.
Yeah, well, I agree with the last caller there, by golly. We got too many hobos. They want free handouts. That's all they want.
And they're taking advantage of the system and then taking away resources from needy families that are already here and, yeah, so much more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, including all the inmates in prison and stuff. They're doing the same thing. Yeah, I mean, but anyway, back to my question is, I'm with the flag committee here in town, and we have a large flag that we fly, and it seems like every other week we have to lower it to half staff. And it's just really getting terrible anymore that people come up and they'll ask me, now, why is the flag full staff? You know, because they're so used to seeing it half staff. I mean, I feel sorry for all these people that have been killed, and I feel sorry for all these families. But, you know, we got to get to the point where that flag is to show how proud of a nation we are and that we're not going to bend. And what they're doing, the terrorists are saying, well, we know how to do this. We're going to go out, we're going to kill some innocent people, and then they have to lower their flags again.
No, I'm with you. It seems like we've so abused this lowering of the flags to where they do it for, and then oftentimes it gets politicized to send a political message. Or, the previous governor would insert like gun control messages into flag proclamations and yeah, you've got such a beautiful Veterans Memorial there and collection of flags but yeah, you're right. But everybody wants to lower the flags when appropriate, but especially when it's used for all these politicians so often. It's like, you know, why do we treat these public servants like they're royalty and then have to lower the flags when so many of them pass away? Like, no, they're supposed to be serving the people, not the other way around.
We're supposed to have that flag flying proud. We're a proud nation.
I hear you. No, I'm glad you raised that point there, and thanks for what you do there in Shelby.
Well, I'm just glad I got the word out.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know. I'm sure there's other people listening across the state that are like, you know what? Hey, yeah, let's talk to our legislators about that. Let's talk to our members of Congress about that. Kim, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Jesse James Mullen in Deer Lodge, stand by. We'll get to you next. But first, John Jackson, your thoughts on this flag proclamation topic there.
No, I absolutely agree. And like you made the point just now, treating politicians like royalty. And that's when I attended that criminal justice meeting last week, that was what I was telling you. I didn't walk in there to treat anybody like they're royalty or clap anybody on the back and all that stuff. I came in there to hear what your solutions are for the problem. I'm listening as a professional, not there to clap for you and say, "Way, way to go, good job." How much more of my money do you need for your campaign?
Yeah, and that's what unfortunately, it's kind of like, because politics has turned into such a sport, and almost, and we've always joked that Washington D.C. is kind of like the Hollywood, of the East Coast to a certain extent. And a lot of these people, it's like they go there because they want to become celebrities instead of actually serving the people oftentimes. Hey, next up on the phone lines, we got Jesse James Mullen calling in from Deer Lodge. Jesse is a Democrat candidate for Secretary of State. Hey, Jesse, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Aaron. And hey, John, I heard two of my favorite voices from Twitter, I guess X now, talking. I thought maybe it's hey.
Hey, that's great. Yeah, I've seen you jumping in on the conversation a lot via X.com or Twitter, as they say. Well, what did you want to talk about this morning? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I thought this would be a good opportunity. You know, we had our elections recently here in Montana, and, they're safe and secure, as they typically are. But I wanted to talk briefly about what happened in Argentina over the last few days, and I was kind of curious to see what you two thought about it.
Oh, yeah, this election of Milei. Yeah, that's actually John Jackson's got that on his list as something to talk about. I think it's pretty fascinating. No matter what you think of Donald Trump or even Milei in Argentina, it's pretty interesting that a guy who's been described as the Donald Trump of Argentina just took the leftist government out of power in Argentina. So I think that's pretty fascinating. Could be a foreshadowing of 2024 here in Montana. But what's your thoughts?
Well, and it's not just that. Yeah, obviously people have called him the Donald Trump of Argentina, but he's a libertarian.
Yeah.
He runs with the Libertarian Party, so his politics are far from Donald Trump's, although personality-wise, he's definitely very similar. Do you think we'll still see some of those policies put into place down there, or do you think with a libertarian running the entire country, you might have some real issues when it comes to their trade, their elections in the future?
Well, what I think is, John and I were actually talking about this during the break. John, jump in on here too, but you and I were talking about it. It's like, okay, the people, they really want change. They see how bad the left running Argentina became. I mean, the peso used to be able to purchase 6 pesos to purchase a dollar a year ago. Now it's like 400 pesos to purchase a dollar, something to that effect. Now we have a pro-America leader coming into Argentina. The past administration was coddling up to the communist Chinese. But there's this video on Twitter of Milei going through showing all these government agencies. Yep, that one's going in the trash. That government agency's going in the trash.
Yeah.
Now, it's easy to campaign on that, but once you start making those cuts, that's where the hard work comes in, right, John?
Oh, yeah, and you saw that. You know, we were all so excited about Miss Meloni, who won the election over in Italy. Oh, she was going to be the next, conservative leader, and she flopped in 6 months. She's right there now, moderate left. So, I mean, I really, really hope that Mr. Milei goes through with what he talked about. But, I mean, if you've seen his speeches, that guy is a flamethrower.
Oh, yeah. Some of the words, we couldn't even say some of the words in Spanish because they probably violate FCC cuss word rules here. But let's just say he uses manure in Spanish to describe the left down there. So, Jesse, what's your take? You kind of heard a little bit of ours.
Well, one thing that I heard online and that I sort of agree with is his politics are much more similar to somebody like Rand Paul here in the U.S.
Yeah, he's kind of a cross between Rand Paul and Trump. He's got that Trump populism with the Rand Paul libertarianism. Jeremy Carl, who's with the Claremont Institute, lives in Bozeman. He basically said that similar thing.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to bring up is the elections in Argentina, they're considered some of the safest in the world. Multiple organizations actually have them ranked as safer than in the United States. one of the big differences down there is that they have compulsory voting.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and we got the results, within like an hour or something like that? All right. Hey, Jesse James Mullen, thanks for calling in. Give us a call again one of these days down the road. I know we've got other callers we got to sneak in here as well, but great to hear from you. Thanks for jumping in on the conversation. Quick break here on Montana Talks. We got Rich in Vaughn, Ken in Great Falls, and the Joker on standby.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I had a Marine veteran buddy of mine just send me a Babylon Bee story. Libertarian pilgrims set sail for Argentina in search of a better life. And it shows these libertarians on a Mayflower-style ship with the Don't Tread on Me sails on it. And pretty funny.
If those guys from the Babylon Bee, they should have their own comedy show on some network. They are absolutely the funniest writers out there today.
Seth Dillon, the head of the Babylon Bee, is going to be in Montana like in February, I think. He's going to be speaking for the Billings Christian Schools banquet. So, folks, get that on your calendar right now. The Babylon Bee is absolutely hysterical. Ross in Lovina was really glad to hear what Kim and Shelby had to say. The flag-lowering issues have been bugging me for the past 2 decades. Glad to hear someone else weighing in on it. So stop lowering the flags all the time. Stop with these flag-lowering proclamations all the time. That was from Ross and Lovina. Let's see. Let's go into the phone lines. We've got Rich in Vaughn. Rich, thanks for the phone call. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for serving. I appreciate it. I just wanted to encourage folks, you know, we're always looking for the truth. That's why we tune in to you, to go ahead and do the homework. I had the fortune of working for Jason Ellsworth in the Bitterroot doing magazine sales over the phone. You know who Jason Ellsworth is, correct?
President or minority? Senate president, right? I always forget who's the president and who's the majority leader. Yeah.
So a real quick true story is, we have an automated dialer. City pops up. The name might be changed. I ended up in Waco. What do you think I started asking the people instead of about magazines? What happened with that David Koresh thing? Well, just like Waco and the editorial page said, they could have done it all different, and the whole community down there was upset. But what I wanted to say is you have a ton of instances where the mainstream's been lying for years, and you've got people right here in Montana you could bring on your show and talk about the truth of it. The Malheur, Ruby Ridge, Oklahoma, I could go on. And now that homework we can't do as well because, you know, our cell phones changed. We can't do the digging we used to for information.
It's harder to find stuff on a lot of the searching platforms. Oh. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah. There was a Netflix documentary about Waco, which was fascinating to watch because I was just a kid when that whole Waco Janet Reno incident took place. And so, you know, as a kid, I was just like, man, who's this nut job David Koresh guy? What the heck is the deal there? What a goofball. And yeah, he was a goofball, but also like, man, you see the federal agent that was ordered to go in, their whole raid was compromised. And so none of those agents should have been harmed that day. They should not have gone in, and yet they were still ordered to go in. What a fiasco, huh? John Jackson, I know you're kind of familiar with it. You're a retired federal law enforcement guy yourself.
Friends of mine were there. A guy I know was the first man through the front door, right? He had the top of his thumb blown off. There were major, major, major tactical mistakes there, and the very first one was made by the ATF. They knew Koresh was going into town on a regular basis and could have grabbed him in town by himself anytime. They chose not to do that. Then word finally got out through his informants in town that the ATF was there, and then that chance vanished. They knew he's in there heavily armed and fortified and still went in after him.
Yep. Well, and in this documentary, I guess somebody who lived in the compound was a postal worker.
Yep.
And the postal worker spotted these agents about ready to go in, and then he goes back and reports to the compound, hey, guys, something's about to happen. So that's why they were ready, armed and waiting, and the whole thing ended up being an ambush. And the lead agent said, we should not have gone in there, but nope. But the big bureaucrats told us we better go in, regardless of the intel on the ground.
A friend of mine is the first one through the front door. They pop the front door, and there is Koresh with his main lieutenant, and he's got the shotgun right on the guy. Could have dusted him off right there, but Koresh is not armed. Well, that's when you see the famous video of the guys coming in the back and getting a crap shot out of them through the window. Mm-hmm. That's happening simultaneously. Then everything stops. They start backing away from the front door. Koresh kicks the door shut, and now the rounds are coming out the front at them, and they're hiding in the front yard and all the supplies and cars and all the stuff that's in the front yard.
Yeah, it's a crazy documentary, that's for sure. All right, let's go to Mark in Shelby next up. Mark, great to hear from you.
Hey, thank you, Aaron. Here's a quick question. I know you're getting short on time, but the thing with Tester and Tim Sheehy and the ads attacking Tim Sheehy, saying he didn't pay his loan back and didn't hid money in the Cayman Islands. Now, I asked him that question. He says, I've never been there, never done business. Now they show a piece of paper showing him, you know, his business in the Cayman Islands. How do you figure that stuff out? I went to their website. There's no way to even go further there. You got any idea?
You know, that's a good question. I guess my thing is even if somebody was doing business over there, okay, it's a successful Montana business started by a guy who served his country as a Navy SEAL, who helped make his fellow veterans very successful, gave them a job when they came home from overseas. So I don't know. I guess that's how I kind of look at it. But your thoughts?
Well, I just like to find out the absolute truth, because these people, we're going to deal with this for the next year, you know. So.
Oh yeah, I mean, we mentioned manure, and Milei in Argentina had another word for it, but. Yeah, the manures, the Adam Schiff is going to be flying for the next year, isn't it, Mark? By the way, John Jackson, did you hear that great radio voice? I wish I had a good radio voice like that. Mark Daniels, KSEN Radio right there, Shelby, Montana.
Ooh, man,
WKRP. He could have been on WKRP.